So I recently visited Leeds City Museum and I saw an exhibition called Living with Death. And it explored how different cultures and various human belief systems deal with this subject, an often depressing subject. And I shed tears while I was there, but then those tears became tears of joy because they had a poster from a Christian organisation. It didn't say much, just six words, but there are six words that mean everything. And it was this, a picture of a stone rolled away from an empty tomb, and it says, "Life wins, death has been defeated." "But hold on," I hear you cry. "Mate, you need a new calendar. That's Easter. This is Christmas." Well, those words, they do relate to Easter and the death of Jesus, but their real focus is life. Life wins. But the truth is that there's only one life that wins. Since the first sin of the first humans, all human life has been born lost. And then Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And his life won. Lost people won back for God. And Luke 2 records the first moments of that life on earth. And verses 22 to 39 record one short moment in one day of that one life. It's only one life, but it's the one life that will win life for all who believe. Every other life will get it wrong, but this one life can make it right. And verse 22 starts with four words: "When the time came." It then tells us about rituals that Mary must complete. It calls them purification rites. It was time for those rites. Hey, it was the right time. But it was also the right time in another sense, the correct time, the set time. Because yes, Mary was about to do something that countless Jewish women had done before. But God had just done something like never before. This was God's right time of Galatians 4, when the set time had fully come. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So why was Jesus born under the law? What even is the law? Because it seems important in these verses. Luke seems really keen to let us know that the life of Jesus began in keeping with a distinct and sometimes peculiar set of rules. And those rules are called the law of the Lord in verses 23 and 24 and later on. And they're called the law of Moses in verse 22. The law of Moses. Moses, he's that Jewish guy from way back when. God chose him to lead Israel, and he gave him rules for the life of Israel called the law. So God's life rules given to Israel. Given so they could avoid sin? No. Given because they couldn't avoid it. Sin, it's a tiny word, but it describes our massive problem, the failure of our life. And the law had loads of rituals. Many of them were cleansing rituals. People and stuff got cleaned. And they highlighted the reality of Israelite life. The reality of all life. In God's eyes, it's dirty. Their life was, my life is, yours too. It's downright dirty and just not good enough for God. But this one life in Luke 2 is going to be different. The life of Jesus will be lived clean. This one life will be the good life. Jesus, born to Israelite parents, born under that law. His life lived under the law's demanding demands, but every strict question it posed, the winning life of Christ would always answer right. And in verse 22, it's time for those required purification rites following the birth of an Israelite boy, a firstborn boy. And we read, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And verse 23 says, every firstborn male is to be consecrated. So kind of like made holy, presented as a holy thing to the Lord. And that's a quote from what Moses said to Israel. When did he say it? Well, I put it down as a related reading. It's in Exodus 13. And it's so significant because the chapter before is Exodus 12. Pretty obvious. But what we may not know is Exodus 12 describes Israel's escape from slavery in Egypt. So they've just left Egypt. And now Moses gives them this instruction. So let's imagine, let's go back in our minds as if we are standing in that host of Israel. They're free. We're free at last after hundreds of years of slavery. And Moses now says that this has got to happen after the birth of a firstborn boy. And considering how many people there were, it would have happened pretty quickly. And it happens. An Israelite lady goes into labour and it's a boy, her first. And eventually someone holds it up and says, we've got to do this. This boy is yours, Lord. Make it a special thing. And it would have been. Imagine the masses of Israel witnessing that. Because for the first time, for a hugely long time, that Israelite baby would have been different. Different to every other person that witnessed that event. That baby would have been born free, not a slave. But look here at Luke 2. When Jesus is taken to the temple and presented to the Lord, he's already special. He's already holy. And he's living the life, freeing life, the only life that can forever win our freedom from our slavery to our sin. In verse 24, the parents offer a sacrifice in keeping with the law. And it's two small birds. It doesn't seem much. It wasn't. It highlights Mary's poor circumstances. The law in Leviticus 12 stated that this sacrifice must include a young lamb. But what if you didn't own one? Or couldn't afford one? Well, the law made this allowance. Two small captured wild birds would do. It was God's kindly provision for those whose pockets and purses were empty. And it's used here for this life, the newborn Christ who came to win life for those whose own lives had been emptied out by sin. And that's where we meet Simeon in verse 25. And I think Luke is inviting us to stand in Simeon's shoes. But hold on, I hear you cry. He's described as righteous and devout. Those shoes don't fit my feet. Those words don't fit my life. But do they? Can they? What does the Bible mean when it calls a person righteous? Romans 4 shows us that people are counted as righteous not because of what they do, but because of their faith in the God who forgives sinners. To be Bible righteous is to believe that God forgives sinners. To believe that God can forgive you. Have you done that? Then you're righteous. Simeon was righteous and devout. What's devout? Well, it's loyal and committed. He was loyal and committed to his God. He was devout, like devoted, which, think about it, is hardly surprising given the real nature of true God friendship. If we had a friendship with someone and we kept messing up and their response was to forgive, and forgive, and forgive, would we want to continue that relationship? You bet we would. And Simeon did. God had won this man over. And he was waiting. That's what we read. He was waiting. I know what it is to be waiting. I regularly travel by bus. Unfortunately, my life is lived in the wrong place, West Yorkshire, because the main bus company in this region is regularly voted the worst in the whole country. And I won't tell you who they are because I don't want to be sued. But I will just say that they don't always arrive when they should. The timetables promise a bus, it's coming. But it doesn't. And I wait for the next one. It doesn't turn up. It's just so unreliable. But contrast this with Simeon's waiting. His life was like mine. It was lived in the wrong place. No, not West Yorkshire. He lived in a broken world. And he was desperately waiting. Waiting for God to show up with his forgiveness plan. But believing that he would. Because God's reliable. He had a timetable for the arrival of Christ. He had a timetable for Simeon's life. And he's always going to show. Simeon was waiting, we read, for the consolation of Israel. What's that? Well, consolation is like comfort. When we console someone, we comfort them. When do we most need comfort? I need it when I'm most broken. When life has broken down and broken me down. When life has made me cry. Maybe Simeon had been reading God's promise in Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Simeon was waiting for this sin paid for comfort to happen. He wants to see it happen. And this day, he sees it. God had told Israel collectively that it would happen. But he'd spoken to Simeon directly in verse 26. He'd been told about the Messiah, God's Messiah. That's God's Christ. Because Messiah, that comes from the Old Testament Hebrew language. And Christ comes from the New Testament Greek. But they mean the same thing. Messiah, Christ, they're one and the same. And they're the one, the Lord's anointed one. Anointed to come, appointed to win. Jesus made in our likeness. Jesus dressed in our lifeness. But where our life lost, his life wins. It was revealed to him, so Simeon by God's Spirit, it was revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen Christ. God told him. It's so good. It's maybe like us when we buy presents. It can be so hard buying the right thing, can't it? Is this really any good? Will they want it? But occasionally we'll find something that seems so right. It's so good. And what happens? It's then hard to keep it a secret, isn't it? You want to tell people, you want to tell your friends, I've got this gift to give. It's so good. It's going to make such a difference. And it's almost like, when I read this, it's like what God's like here. The gift of Christ, his gift to the world, the one winning life. It's so good. It's so what this broken world needs. It's like God can't contain himself. He's got to tell his friends. So he's told Simeon what's coming and when and where. It's a moving moment. And Simeon is moved in verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And I love the positioning of the next few words. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him. We have the law, we have Christ Jesus, and we have Simeon taking Jesus. The law, that was God's prescription written out for sinful life, but Jesus is the medicine that heals. And Simeon took that medicine. And look at the effect of that medicine. Simeon has grasped Jesus. He's holding the life that wins. And look at his outlook now. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. In peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon believed God's promise. He believed that he would not die before he had seen this day and this life. And now he's seen it. And now he's ready. You may now dismiss me in peace. It's like, I'm ready to die, Lord. I can die in peace. I couldn't die in peace before, but now I've seen your Messiah, your Christ. Now I can. And this is relevant to us. If we haven't seen or haven't grasped what is in this one life of Jesus, then there is no peace between us and God. We aren't ready to die and face him, because then it'll be about our life, a lost life, because God's at war with that life. The only way we'll die in peace with God is by believing in the life that wins, the life of God's Christ. My eyes have seen your salvation, Simeon says. What is salvation? Well, it's God's method of saving. It's his rescue plan wrapped up in this one life. Have we seen what Simeon saw? God's rescue plan for broken people like us, wrapped up in the life of Christ. If we have, then we have nothing to fear from what lies beyond death. But hold on. This life of Jesus on earth has only just begun. How can Simeon be so confident of the winning result? And it reminds me of when I was a young boy. I used to love listening to the football results on a Saturday afternoon on the radio. And they were read by a man called James Alexander Gordon. The matches began at 3 p.m. and now they'd finished. It was 4:45 and the results were in. And Mr. Gordon announced them in a very special way. The way that he read out each name and score, so it was the home team first, and when he read out their name and score, you knew the result before he gave the away team and then their score. Because if he pitched it higher, like Leeds 3, you knew they'd won. And if he kept his voice level, Leeds 1, you knew it was a draw. And if he dropped his voice, Leeds 0, you knew they'd lost. You knew the result before it was fully announced. But you never knew the result while the game was still in play. Because what he never did was announce the results at 3:03, when the games had only just started. Because even at 6 years old, I'd have found that a bit suspect. But that's what Simeon does here. This life of Christ, born under the law, lived according to God's rules of the game, this life has only just begun. Only just in play, but Simeon sees it for what it will be. He announces the result. This life has won. One life for me. Heaven's trophy, heaven's peace is as certain now as when the final whistle blows on my life. I'll be ready to die then, because I've seen your Christ, and that makes me ready now. Christians, are you ready? Because often we're not. There's a real temptation as believers to over-focus on our own lives. We get troubled by what we see of our ongoing broken living, and it breaks our peace. But Simeon's example reminds us of where we must always look. Why try and find peace in your losing life when you've already got it in this life that won? And Simeon held Jesus in his arms. He grasped him with his arms, but also with his heart and his mind and his spirit. And he was sure, this life wins. For me, death is defeated. Life won. Death nil. For him, for us, and for everyone that believes. Everyone. That's what Simeon goes on to say in verses 31 and 32. This whole scene is so Jewish. It's in the temple in Jerusalem. It's the main building in the capital city of what was then God's own country. No, not Yorkshire, Israel. It's so Jewish. The spotlight is on the stage, on one tiny spot on God's earth. But then Simeon sees the entrance of God's main man, and he sees what this life means and what his life wins. And the spotlight suddenly becomes a floodlight that will be seen by all nations, because Jesus is the floodlight of the world, and his life-winning life is now for all people to see, anyone and everyone who will believe. And in verse 33, we read that the child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Hardly surprising. This life that's just started has transformed the life and death and forever of Simeon. He's truly won over. He's found peace with God for himself. He knows that others will too. He speaks of the light of the life that wins, a light that will shine in the dark place of our broken world. But first, that darkness must be dealt with. And the final words of Simeon in verses 34 and 35 point us to the how this winning life will play out to the end. He says this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. Jesus divides people into two groups, those that don't believe and so fall and fail, and those who do believe and so rise to new life in him. He'll be spoken against by many, but many others will find the thoughts of their hearts revealed, and God will show them who they really are, lost without Christ, but winners in him, and they'll choose the life that wins, but the life that wins at great, great cost. And Simeon tells Mary about it. A sword will pierce your own soul. When? At the cross of Jesus, Mary will witness that horrific, agonizing, heart-tearing event. She is now forever linked to the life of Jesus, but being linked to him comes at a cost. It would be deeply, painfully true for Mary. But it is also true, there's a cost for all who believe. People will speak against your faith in the winning life of Christ. They'll tell you the opposite. They'll tell you that you're losing out on life. But you'll know through God's word and through the work of his Spirit within that you've won. And why? Because of that cross. At the cross, he paid our deserved penalty, and we got his deserved peace. He paid the price for our lost lives to give us that life that wins. Sinners made winners. He looked poor in the circumstances of his birth. He looked desperately poor in the circumstances of his death. But he looked anything but when he rose from the dead. Philippians 2 tells us that he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing so that we who had lost everything might have more, forevermore. And he became nothing so that he might become everything to us. May we be like Simeon this Christmas season. May we be righteous and devout. Righteous by faith, believing in God's Christ, believing his life wins, and now devout, devoted to the God who forgave us and who forgives and forgives and forgives again.